Welcome. To those of you that are listening by the radio, we welcome you to our 11 o'clock service at Grace Bible Church. And we're glad you tuned in today. And for those of you that are present here, we're certainly glad to have you. Today I want to talk to you about a subject that we find in Philippians chapter 3. And it has to do with righteousness. And we want to look at some things in regard to righteousness today as far as what the Bible says about it. And that kind of thing. So in Philippians chapter 3, verse 4, the Apostle Paul there speaking, he said, "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath where he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrew, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." Now notice verse 9. "And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Now, as I said, I want us to look at this subject of righteousness, and I want us to look at it in relation to what, not what we think about it, but what the Bible says about it. You see, different people have different ideas about what constitutes righteousness as far as a believer is concerned. But what I want you to see today, and what I hope we'll see through the Scripture, is that righteousness is something that it is not something that we achieve. It's not something that we work toward. It's not something that somehow we become in our flesh. But there is an imputed righteousness, and with that goes certain truths in relation to us as members of the church, the body of Christ. Now, the first thing I want you to notice about this is what Paul mentions there in verse 6. He says, "Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless." Now there is a righteousness mentioned in the Bible that was associated with keeping the law that was given to the nation Israel. If we look back in Deuteronomy chapter 6, down in verse 25, that righteousness that was related to the nation Israel and the keeping of the law is mentioned there in Deuteronomy chapter 6, in verse 24, "The Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day." Now notice what he says. "And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us." That is the righteousness that was associated with keeping the law. How could the nation Israel be counted righteous? Well, by keeping the law. What happened if they didn't? Well, the book of Leviticus tells us if they sinned through ignorance, they could bring a blood sacrifice. That sacrifice would be offered, and it would be an atonement for their sins. But the righteousness that they had before God was associated with keeping the law given through Moses, and that's why he said, "It shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments." Over in the book of Luke, in Luke chapter 1, there are two people mentioned there in relation to this keeping of the law and righteousness. In Luke chapter 1, in verse number 6, Luke 1 verse 6, well, let's look in verse 5. "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth." Now notice, "and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless." That word blameless is the same word that Paul used in Philippians 3, when he said, "as touching the law, blameless." So according to the law, there were those that had kept the law of Moses, in the letter of the law, and they were counted righteous as far as the law was concerned. Then Paul mentions another righteousness there in Philippians chapter 3, in verse 9. He says, "And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. You see, what the law did, that righteousness generated a self-righteousness within people. That righteousness had to do with the ability of people to keep the law. That's why the Pharisees in the day of Christ, they looked at themselves as being a righteous people. But the Lord Jesus Christ, when He addressed the Pharisees, He said, you're like a whited sepulcher. It looks great on the inside, but within you're full of dead men's bones. And that picture is very graphic there, but it paints a picture of the fact that a person can do all of the outward deeds of keeping the law, of doing all the outward things that are mandated today in so much of religion, and yet still not be righteous in the sight of God. Because righteousness today does not have to do with our ability to do anything. Our righteousness has to do with something that was done for us on Calvary some 2,000 years ago. So there is that righteousness which is of the law, and there is that self-righteousness. And you know, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 64, I believe it is, that He says that all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Now, you know, I always have had a picture in my mind of somebody showing up in heaven, or showing up at heaven's gate, which this is, like I say, in my mind. And that person is trying to convince the Lord why he deserves to be in heaven. And the man begins to tell the Lord about all that he did in religion. How that he attended church and he gave his money. And he was faithful and he was a Sunday school teacher. And he did all of these things. And he's piling all this righteousness before the Lord. And when he looks down, there's simply a pile of filthy rags there. You know why? Because the Bible says all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. That is, anything we produce in our flesh before God is of no value as far as righteousness is concerned. Now, to the saved individual, it's very important that we understand that one day we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for the deeds done in this body, the Bible says, whether they be good or bad. But we'll be tried by, our works will be tried in the fire, whether they be good or bad. And if there are those works that don't burn, we'll suffer gain. If they burn, we suffer loss. But as far as our salvation is concerned, as far as our acceptance to the Lord, it has nothing to do with our ability to be righteous or to keep the law or anything else. That was Israel's program. And under Israel's program, the righteousness was associated with keeping the law. But what about us? Well, look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, there's a statement made there about the righteousness that we have. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 18, the Bible says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." Now notice the next verse. 2 Corinthians 5:21. "For He," that is God, "hath made Him," Jesus Christ, "to be sin for us," who knew no sin, that is Christ, "that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." You see, the Bible says several things about that which God made us. The Bible says He has made us accepted in the blood. In Galatians, He has made us free. He has made us righteous. And He says right here, "He hath made Him to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." I've always looked at that verse and thought about that was the greatest exchange that ever took place. Because the Lord Jesus Christ hung on the cross at Calvary. And the Bible says that God made Him to be sin. Why is that? Well, because He was without sin. Jesus Christ was the only person upon the earth that lived His life without sin. Even Pilate said, "I find no fault in Him." And Jesus Christ went to that cross as the only begotten, sinless Son of God. And He, on that cross, God Almighty made Him to be sin for us. Thus, on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ cried out and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why did God forsake His only Son? Because He made Him to be sin. And when Jesus Christ came off that cross and was placed in that tomb, 3 days later He came out of the grave and He was raised again, the Bible says, for our justification. Christ died for our sins. He was buried and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and He was raised for our justification. So that righteousness that we possess is a righteousness that God made us in Christ. It's the righteousness God made in His Son, Jesus Christ. Look back in Romans chapter 4, if you will. That righteousness that we have in Christ, we have by faith, not by the deeds of the flesh. In Romans chapter 4, verse 1, what shall we say then that Abraham our father is returning to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Now notice, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now you need to stop and think about that. You remember anything in Abraham's life that would appear that he wasn't righteous? I remember he told a lie one time, don't you? I mean, you know, I think about this sometime, and I've used this illustration before. I imagine if you went to Abraham's wife and said, "Sir, what about Abraham? Is he a righteous man?" I said, "Well, he's a pretty good man, but I wouldn't say righteous." You ask Abraham's neighbors and so forth, and they say, "Oh, Abraham's a good man. Abraham's a man of faith." But I remember one time he told a lie, and you couldn't tell a lie and be righteous. Well, the Bible says Abraham believed God, and it was what? Counted unto him for righteousness. You see, if you look at me, you look at other people, you might not see the picture of righteousness that you desire to see in my flesh. But I want to tell you something. When you look at me, you're looking at a righteous individual as far as God is concerned. Why? Because it has nothing to do with what I've done in my flesh. It has to do with what Christ did for me at Calvary 2,000 years ago, and I was made righteous in Him. He said in verse 4 there, "Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not," notice now, "but believeth on Him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is" what? "Counted for righteousness." If you right now today have never trusted Christ as your Savior, and this moment would accept Him as your Savior, trust Him as your Savior, God Almighty will count you as righteous even though you are not righteous. It's an imputed righteousness. You're counted righteous. When it says counted, that means that He does something supernaturally that you're not by nature. You're not righteous in your flesh. And you see, that's why so much of religion has the thing confused. They look at the flesh, and they try to determine whether people are righteous by what they do. I mean, somebody goes to church and gives their money and takes care of the elderly and the sick and does all kind of good deeds. People say, "Oh, that's a righteous individual." Well, it might be that they are, but a lost person can do all those things, and they're unrighteous. You see, righteousness has to do with not what we do. It has to do with what we are. And we're righteous in what Christ did in our behalf. So there is that imputed righteousness, and that righteousness is by faith. Romans 4:6, "Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works." You see, David understood that righteousness because David did things that were punishable by death. And when he went before the Lord and cried out, he said, "Lord, I need mercy." You know, it's like a story I heard about the altar call, and a person was down there saying, "Lord, give me justice, Lord, please." And somebody said, "No, don't give him justice, give him mercy." We need mercy. We need the righteousness of God imputed to us. And David understood that. And David deserved death, but he said, blessedness of the man whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Look over in Romans chapter 5 in verse 17. In Romans 5:17, this righteousness, this imputed righteousness, is by faith. And it's also spoken of as a gift. In Romans chapter 5, in verse 17, the Bible says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life." Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful, folks, if everybody could get a hold of those verses and understand that it's not by your righteousness, it's not by my righteousness that God has accepted us today. What does it say in that verse? It says, by the righteousness of one. Why is that so important? Well, it's important because he says there in verse 18, as by the offense of one, judgment came to all men unto condemnation. You see, if it was just left there, people would be right in saying that God was unjust in sending people to hell because we're born a sinner. We have no choice in that. We're born with a sin nature. And so if God causes people or puts people in hell because of their sin, then he would be unjust. But you see, he doesn't do that. As a matter of fact, today sin is not the issue because the sin was paid for at Calvary. Today the issue is belief. And it's in the belief that by this one man, he says, the offense of one judgment came upon all the men, even so by the righteousness of one. Not the righteousness of those that accept it, the righteousness of one. Who is that one? It is the Lord Jesus Christ. By the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. He reconciled the world unto himself. Verse 19, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." You see, he died for all. He reconciled the world unto himself. But those that are made righteous are those that accept him as their Savior and are counted righteous on the basis of faith. Their faith is counted for righteousness. That's a wonderful thing to know, that God counts us righteous on the basis of what we believe, not what we do. Why is that so important? Because we are such failures in our flesh. The Bible implores us, it exhorts us to walk worthy of that vocation where we've been called. And we are to walk worthy of who we are in Christ. God desires that we live in a manner that is pleasing unto Him. That we acknowledge the things that are written to us through the Apostle Paul are His commandments for us today. But the very best we can do, we still fail. We still come up short. We still stumble. We still make mistakes. And you know, isn't it a blessed and wonderful truth to know this morning that no matter how big of a failure we become in our flesh, that we've already been accepted in the blood, that we're seated with Him in heavenly places in Christ, and that God is not going to condemn us based on what we do in our flesh. We might suffer for it in this life. Our family might suffer for it in many ways, what we do in our flesh. But listen, it will never affect our position before the Lord because He's already counted us as righteous in Him. The righteousness which is by faith. It's a gift. As said in Romans 5:17, the gift of righteousness. What a gift that is. You know, we're at a time right now when a lot of emphasis on giving gifts. Well, I want to tell you, there is no greater gift in the world than the gift of righteousness imparted by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice how this righteousness is manifested. Look back in Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, in verse 16, Paul says, "Therefore, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." We know that that gospel is found in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He was raised again the third day according to the Scriptures. That is the gospel, folks. That's simple, straightforward, as plain as it could be. He died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. Paul said that gospel of Christ is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But notice what he says in verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith. You see, what we read over there in Romans chapter 5 is what Paul is talking about in Romans 1 when he said, therein is the righteousness of God revealed. How is it revealed? Well, it's revealed through the gospel. Because if we were born sinners and had nothing to do with that, likewise, we're made righteous without having anything to do with that, other than accepting what Christ did for us at Calvary. In Romans chapter 3, there in verse 19, the Apostle Paul says, we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now look at those words. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. Well, when was that made manifest? When it was revealed to the Apostle Paul. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You see, today, the righteousness of God is manifested by the preaching of the cross, by the preaching of the gospel. It is made known to men, women, boys, and girls that they're sin is no longer the issue. That Christ died for their sins, was buried and rose again the third day. And today we have that imputed righteousness as a gift by what Jesus Christ did for us at Calvary. Imputed righteousness. Now, there's one thing else I want us to notice before we conclude. Look in Romans chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10. The Apostle Paul had this ministry committed unto him of preaching all that was accomplished by Christ on the cross for us Gentiles. He said, I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify my office. In Corinthians two times, he says there in 1 Corinthians, to be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ. But the Apostle Paul had a great desire for his kinsmen, according to the flesh, Israelites, to be saved. When Paul wrote the book of Romans, there was no longer available to the nation of Israel national salvation. But he desired for those individual Jews that he came in contact with when he went to the synagogues and other places. He desired that they be saved. He reflects that in Romans 10:1 when he says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Now notice what their problem was. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Now the reason I read that verse and I think it's so important is because I believe that that's exactly the condition of a large majority of religious people today. Not all, but a large number. What am I talking about? Paul said they are ignorant of God's righteousness. Anybody that is ignorant of God's righteousness in religion, you know what they're doing? Just what Israel was. They're going about to establish their own righteousness. How was Israel doing that? They were continuing to offer the sacrifices. They were continuing to keep the law. They were continuing to try to be saved on the basis of who they were in Abraham. By the flesh. Well, you see, there's people today that are doing exactly the same thing. There are people today who go to church. They